Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness, radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, where we're getting into the book of Revelation. We've been on it since July, and you can go back on our archives and catch up with us if you're just tuning in today for the first time, but we're already down to Revelation 13. Revelation 13, 1. And the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. Then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 crowns, and on his heads were blasphemous names. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, Satan, gave him his power and his throne and great authority. So we've already said that these are the Gentile nations. We've gotten into this week. You can go back to Monday on the archives. These are this beast has as its parts the empires, the four empires that were prophesied in the Gentile empires that had to do with the possession of Jerusalem that are prophesied. First of all, we see them in the visions of Daniel. The visions of Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel in the book of Daniel. Now, Jesus, we have already seen that when his disciples ask him, when are you going to come and set up your kingdom? Luke 21, he said, when the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. In order to understand the times of the Gentiles and when they're fulfilled, we have to know, number one, who are Gentiles? Who are the Gentiles? And number two, when does it end? When does this period of time that Jesus gave us called the times of the Gentiles, when does that end? And Jesus sets up his earthly kingdom. So we looked at when the Bible, we know that there are three groups of peoples, the Jews, the nations, and the church. Nations being Gentiles, Goyim. And the first time we find Gentiles mentioned in the Bible, they're the first group mentioned to us, it's in Genesis chapter 10. When Noah gets off the boat, his three sons and their wives, Genesis chapter 10 gives you those three sons, and it gives you their wives, and, well, actually not their wives, but their progeny, their sons. It gives you Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and then it gives you their sons. And at the end of it, it says, the end of chapter 10, and these are the families of the sons of Noah after their generation in their nations. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. When God says nations, when God says Gentiles, he goes right back to these basic nations. There are 70 of them here mentioned. 70 nations. You don't count Noah's sons, but you do count, and under his progeny, there will be 14 from Japheth, 30 from Ham, and 26 from Shem, giving you 70 nations. They don't count the Philistines because they were a mixed group. But the 70 nations are the basic nations. And in the Feast of Tabernacles, you can see it especially when the temple was dedicated in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, and in that passages 6 and 7, you can see that every Feast of Tabernacles, the Jews acted as mediator between God and the nations because it was the job of the nation of Israel to be a priest-type mediator and to proclaim and to exhibit God to the earth. And they offered 70 bulls as a sacrifice during the Feast of Tabernacles for the 70 nations. 70 nations know their blessing by blessing Israel and all their progeny. It goes till today. Now, the nations that got off the boat, and they became those 70 nations. Now, God has told them what his will for them to do is. Genesis 9:1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. How'd you like to have that given to you? You get off the boat and there are only 8 of you. And God says, fill up the earth. Well, to fill the earth, you have to go into the earth. And we find that Genesis chapter 11 is in the year from the creation of Adam, 1996. And it's 340 years after the flood. They've had 340 years to begin to to multiply, which they did multiply, but they didn't move throughout the earth. They did not obey God. They got up on one plane, the plane of Shinar. Shinar in the Bible is the same as Babylon. And we see here in Genesis chapter 11, the rebellion of the nations. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. They all stayed together. And they said one to another, let us make brick, and let us burn them, and then let us build a tower whose top will reach to heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. It's God's will that they be scattered abroad on the face of the whole earth. But now they're saying, no, we don't want that. We're going to make ourselves a name. And God said, let's go down and see this. And that is when, you know, he confused their languages and scattered them to the whole earth. He did indeed make them go throughout all the earth. Verse 9, therefore is the name of it called Babel, because Jehovah did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. He forced them to do what he'd wanted them to do. They did have one language. The language was Hebrew. But now he divides their languages. Where did this come from, this rebellion? It comes from a man named Nimrod. And we see that he is coming from the line of Ham and the sons of Cush in verse 7. Cush is a son of Ham. And Cush bore a son whose name was Nimrod, verse 8. This is the King James. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, Jehovah. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calne, in the land of Shinar. That's the same as Babylon. Out of that land went forth Ashur, Assyria, and builded Nineveh, and the city of Rehovot, and then it goes on to mention others. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, in the stone edition of the Chumash, and the Chumash is the first five books of the Bible. The stone edition of that is translated from the Hebrew into English. And of course, the Jews have been translating this a long, long time. And the most accurate translations really are the Hebrew, the ones that the Jews have done. And they say of Nimrod, and they take a lot of their information from history. They have not only the five books of Moses, but they have their oral tradition and they have history. And this is what they say about Nimrod. Before Nimrod, there were neither wars nor reigning monarchs. He'd subjugated the Babylonians until they crowned him. Genesis verse 10 tells us that he had a kingdom. After which, his crowning, he went to Assyria and he built great cities. The Torah calls him a mighty hunter, which Rashi and most commentators interpret figuratively. Nimrod ensnared men with his words and incited them to rebel against God. His first conquest, which became the center of Nebuchadnezzar's Babylonian empire, was Babel. His first conquest, which was the basis of his subsequent empire building, was Babel, which became the center of Nebuchadnezzar's Babylonian empire. It was one of the greatest cities of the ancient world. Now, in the Companion Bible, the notes in the Companion Bible, and I use the Companion Bible a lot, are written by E.W. Bullinger. And in his appendix, he has a lot of appendices at the end that are very good study helps. In his appendix number 28, he gives us further information on Nimrod. Josephus, the historian, writes, Nimrod persuaded mankind not to ascribe their happiness to God, but to think that his own excellency was the source of it. And he soon changed things into a tyranny, thinking there was no other way to wean men from the fear of God than by making them rely on his own power. The Jerusalem Targum, that means translation, says, he was powerful in hunting and in wickedness before the Lord, for he was a hunter of the sons of men. And he said to them, Depart from the judgment of the Lord, Jehovah, and adhere to the judgment of Nimrod. In other words, God's judgments are, God says this is good, God says this is bad. God says do this, God says don't do that. Like a parent. Nimrod says, you don't have to obey God. You can obey me. He said, the Jerusalem Targum says, Nimrod said, depart from the judgment of the Lord and adhere to the judgment of Nimrod. Therefore it is said, as Nimrod is the strong in hunting and in wickedness before the Lord. The Chaldee paraphrase, Bullinger says, of 1 Chronicles 1:10 says, Cush begat Nimrod, who began to prevail in wickedness, for he shed innocent blood and rebelled against Jehovah. Bullinger himself noted, Nimrod was the founder of Babylon, which partook of his character as being the great antagonist of God's truth and God's people. We cannot fail to see in Nimrod Satan's first attempt to raise up a human universal ruler of men. There have been many subsequent attempts, such as Nebuchadnezzar, and on, we might add Hitler, and he will finally succeed in the person of the Antichrist. I myself, Billy Brim, heard Dr. Lester Sumrall say that Satan has had his candidate for the Antichrist in every generation, and he will at last have one, and we're going to read about that in Revelation. God confused their language. That's why it's called Babel. It was there that Hashem scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Genesis 11 and verse 9. This is the beginning. This rebellion is the beginning of the Babylonian system. Brother Copeland says, the Babylonian system is man's attempt to meet man's needs without God. And that Babylonian system, which began, we had to read about its beginnings. It began here in Genesis, the book of beginnings. And that is the system, the Babylonian system, will know judgment in the book of Revelation. And you need to understand that it is a system. It is the Babylonian system that we see all around us now. Man attempting to meet man's needs without God. And that system will know its judgment on the earth. God will then set up the kingdom, the visible kingdom, the millennial kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the earth. We'd love to have you come and be with us now at our Autumn Assembly of Prayer, October 25th through 29th. We could use your supply of the Spirit, especially as we meet to pray just before the elections. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland will be here, Lynn Hammond, Chip Brim, and I know we'll be joined by others. Brother Wiseman will come and others that God will use and bring to the meeting. And we hope he brings you. And the Holy Ghost will use who he wants to use as we follow him. Sunday afternoon, on the 28th, we're going to meet at the Hilton, and we're going to just attempt to follow God in a believer's meeting. So we invite you to come and be with us. You can go to billybrim.org to find out more about it, or you can telephone us at 1-800-972-3447. This is Billy Brim saying, Shalom, shalom, until tomorrow.